A warm welcome to all of you to Wednesday Public Talk. And I'm really glad to see you today. Yeah, I must apologize for my voice. Just recovered from a very bad cold. One side of my ear is still blocked. So if you can't hear me, raise your hands. You know, but if you can hear like the Malaysian accent breaking out, it's just me. There's nothing wrong. Okay. So first, let us turn to today's topic. Yeah, let's turn this. Yeah, this is our topic today. Okay. Image is everything. It's a series of three talks. Okay. So I'm going to start with introductions. That is, who am I? Who am I? Why am I here? Where are you? And where are you in your life specifically? Now, you might be a student at UTS with big dreams. Someday you're going to change the world. Or perhaps you're someone just want to get on with your life. Pass your exams. Get a good job. Settle down. But where are you going next? What kind of person would you like to be? And what would you like others to say about you at your 21st birthday or even at your funeral? Well, how you answer these questions depend on how you answer the one big question about your identity. Who am I? Who you think you are will determine how you're going to live your lives, where you're going to spend your energy and time. It will determine what kind of person you become. So in this semester, we'll look at what our world and God said about human identity. We'll try to answer these questions we have raised just now. There's lots of questions there. In this 3-week series of Image is Everything, like that, we will begin this week by looking at the question, who am I? And next week, we're going to look at where am I? And the week after next, where am I going? So if you are not Christians with us today, I'm glad you're here today. I hope it's helpful for you to see how we as Christians think about ourselves in life. Hopefully in time it will benefit you. So let me try to answer the questions, who am I? Oops, I can do this in a number of ways, couldn't I? I'm Sean. I'm the husband to Cindy and a father to a beautiful son, Zachary. I'm Sean, an ex-investment banker. I'm Sean, a dreamer, an introvert who loves music and books. I'm Sean, male, straight. I'm Sean, a passionate board gamer. I'm Sean, a sinner saved by grace, raised to new life by Jesus Christ. How would you answer the question? What are you about? What makes you, you? These are important questions, but hard questions, aren't they? Now, some of us might have a very clear and stable sense of who we are, but for many of us, we struggle with a deep sense of who we are. We struggle with the expectations of our parents and our society. We struggle with the conflict of the image we portray on Facebook with the person we see in the mirror every day. We struggle with what it means to be good, significant, and successful. Suddenly, the answer to who am I becomes less clear. It seems to drift further and further away when we first begin to think about it. And our world and our culture makes it even harder to know who we are. What do our culture tell us? Well, it says you can become whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. Just like the good old Nike ad, just do it. It sounds right, positive, empowering, just do it. Like any successful ad slogan, it only gives you half of it. Half of the slogan has gone missing. I mean, if the word is truthful, they'll say this, You can become whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want, but be ready to accept the results and the consequence of your actions. Just do it. Brace yourself. Now the second part of the slogan doesn't even make it to the fine print. I might need a lot of water, so... Yes, you can be who you want to be and do whatever you want. But the wise question should be, is it good for you? Are the end results good for you? We are all about results, aren't we, UTS students? Yeah, results really matter. So we should think carefully before we begin, don't you think? The world and the Facebook tell you that your identity is changeable. That is, it's fluid. And as attractive as it may sound, and when you look deep inside yourself, it only adds to more confusion. Who am I really? Truth cannot lead to confusion. The Bible is never big on advertising half-truths. It gives you the complete picture, the good and the bad part of it. So we shall turn to it and decide which is good, whether it's God's word or what the word tells us. So if you have the booklet, look at Genesis chapter 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." What Genesis 1, 26 tells us is that we are creatures. Okay? We are not creator. Creatures do not create themselves. Creature lives in which they do not create. They receive their lives and their places from someone else. As creatures, we have our place in the world. We live and move on the ground. Now, modern technology may allow us to fly or dive deep into the ocean. That does not make us a fish or a bird, or any more than it makes us a creator. Our permanent and unchangeable identity is that we are creatures. As creatures, we cannot wake up one day and then say, "I no longer need oxygen. I shall not live without breathing." Creature cannot construct their own reality. Creature is not self-determining. You don't get to decide where you're born, whom you're born to, and your race. Look at verse 26. It was God's idea to make mankind, not yours. The Creator did not have to ask you for your permission before making you. He just did. And I'm sure you're glad He did. So does it surprise you when science tells you that how similar your genetic makeup, your DNA structure, is similar to some other creatures? Of course they are. Look at how we breathe the same air. No matter how rich and poor you are, you cannot help but share the same air that just came out from your neighbor's nostrils or your dog's. The Bible tells us that it is the breath of life from God that sustains all living creatures, living things in this world. We have a common origin. It's not a single cell. It's not an atom. It is God, the Creator. So when you read Genesis 1 from the beginning, you will notice that the creation narrative flows naturally. You will see how God carefully crafted the universe, the world, He structured his design phase by phase in an orderly manner. And in all that, God is enjoying himself, putting on the stripes on the zebra, stretching the neck of the giraffe, pulling the nose of the elephant, putting the mane on the male lion, the hair on the male lion, just to add some masculinity to the male lion. After God had made the fish, the birds in the sky, he then made the land animals, the livestock, the wild animals, and along with these land creatures, mankind is created. Mankind is part of the land creatures. Yet something significant is happening in verse 27. Look at the booklet again, Genesis chapter 1, 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Look at verse 27 in your booklet. You will see that it breaks away from the narrative structure. It turned into a poem. You know? So it's shouting to us, the writer is shouting to us, trying to tell us that this is no ordinary event. Something significant is happening. God is creating these special creatures called mankind in his image. Overcome with joy, the writer cannot help but launch into a song. So I can imagine the choir singing, the swell of the symphony, and why are these creatures so special? Because they are created in God's image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Just to make sure we don't miss it, the phrase, the image of God, is repeated. There is no creature that act, think, or relate like God than human beings. This is the glory of mankind. There are no living things in the entire cosmos that act and relate like God than the person sitting next to you. Astounding, isn't it? But this does not mean God is a giant size of you and me. You know? An image is not an exact representation of the real thing. It's not the same as the real thing. Right? Let me show you an image of myself. Now you can see that. This is me in 3D, right? But this is the image of me. Right? Right? This is the image of me. We are not the same. You can tell the difference, right? My son is creating the image of me. I'm just trying to say that. Alright? So an image does not... Sorry.
No, I
can't... We know which one is cuter, okay? I don't have to tell you. Okay? So that... that is an image of me, and this is me in 3D. I'm sure you can tell the difference. The image of God cannot capture all of God. As much as we resemble God, we are not as powerful, as good. We can't create like God does. So what can we say about this image bearer from the text we have just read? Two important observations here. First, as image bearer, we relate. God created male and female as he intends mankind to relate to one another and to him. Wonder why the two greatest commandments that sums up God's commandments are love your God with all your heart and all your soul and love your neighbor as yourself. Relationships. That's what we do to relate to God and to relate to one another. And do it well, we must. That's what it means to be human. So don't you agree that most songs are written in the world is about love and relationships? Yeah? It's love that brings us up to the top of the mountain, and it also causes us to experience anguish and pain. In our core, we are created to relate, especially to God. There's a big hole in our lives when we start relating to God, because we are created with a longing for God's love, God's kind of love, beautiful, faithful, and self-sacrificial. When we begin to exchange God's image with something else, we replace it with our loved ones, with success, with sexuality, or with wealth, or with our desires. We then build our identity on these things. Since these things are not God, we somehow crush our loved ones with expectations that they are unable to fulfill. Secondly, we are created to rule. We rule with God as His representative king on earth. Look at verse 28 in your booklet. It says that God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in numbers. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." We are called to rule with love as God does. We are created to be image bearers. But how can we mirror God if we do not know Him and do not relate to Him? Right? We are image of God, so we are like a mirror. But a mirror cannot generate light. It can only reflect light. So when we stop relating to God, we start reflecting God. We start to reflect something else. Any wonder what the mess we have in the world today? Because people no longer reflect the God of love in the way they relate and rule the world. So let us turn our eyes to Jesus, who is the true image of God. So in 2 Corinthians it says that when we do that, we are being transformed to the likeness of God. It says that whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and we all, with unveiled face, when we contemplate, when we look at Lord's glory, we are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. And one of the pure joy of being a father is the welcome I receive every day I go home. You know? Zachary will run towards me as I enter the apartment and then start calling, "Dada, Dada," you know? And I give him a big hug. I cannot help. Like this is the best part of my day, you know? And I'm satisfied and fulfilled. Here's a little boy who appreciate the simple joy of seeing his father, and vice versa. I mean, through relating with us, Zachary knows that he is valued and precious in our sight. I mean, relationship is the means for us to receive and give love. Any wonder why people who have failed in relationship again and again keep looking for ones that will eventually fulfill and satisfy them? Because we all want to be valued and loved. Being creatures in the image of God does not only mean we are created with purposes to relate and to rule. Rather, we are also created to be loved and valued. Look at verse 28. God loves mankind. He blessed them. God is still involved in our lives. He wants them to succeed. God likes mankind so much, so He wants to have more of them. Yeah? In verse 29 and 30, God provides for all living things. He did not create a world and let it spin out of control. It is involved in sustaining the creation. So human lives are valuable and precious and sacred. So if you look at Genesis 9:6, in the form of a poem again, it says, "Whoever shed human blood, by human shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind." As God's image bearer, this separates us from the animals. Under no circumstances, God said, should another person's life should be taken. And the reason given here is because we are created in the image of God. So this has great implications for us today. It should make us reconsider how we see people who are handicapped, unborn babies, the elderly, or people from another culture. Because God said that each one of us, He made us, He knit us in our mother's womb. So we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. We are precious in God's sight. Now, our value is not derived from our works. Because I study really hard, I'm a straight A student, therefore I'm better valued than another person. Or I'm richer, therefore I'm more valuable. Now, we do not create our own worth and value. We are precious and valuable because God has decided we are valuable and precious. Anyone has the latest phone here? You wanna show me your latest phone? How much do you want to sell that if I want to buy it? Name a price. Make sure it's profitable to you.
Sorry?
Make sure it's profitable to you.
Yeah, probably $700.
$700? How about I pay for you $7,000? Would you sell it to me?
Probably not.
No! Really? Wow. Kidding? $7,000. I'm sure you will. Okay. You see, I'm willing to pay $7,000 for that phone. It's not worth that much, actually. Now you may think that, Sean is not a very smart shopper. It's not value for money. Why is he paying $7,000 for a $700 phone? But you see, by paying $7,000, I have deemed the phone's value is $7,000, even though its actual value is less. The value of something or somebody is determined not by the thing itself, but rather by the value somebody else is willing to pay. So how much do you think God is willing to pay for all of you here? By the blood and the body of His own Son, Jesus Christ. So that's how much you are worth to God. That's how precious and valuable you are to Him. Are we valuable? Yes, of course, because God says so. And He paid a huge price for it. Well, the world, in Hollywood movies, in the songs, in the ad, in the newspaper, every day, is telling us that we can construct our own identity. We can be self-determining. We can be whoever we want to be. Do you really believe that? Anyone believe that? Bob? Do you believe that if you try hard enough, you might just become the person you want to be? For everyone that succeeds, how many people have failed? Thousands? Millions? And for those who have succeeded, are they truly happy with the results? You can walk into a bookstore or browse online for those self-help books. The fact that there are so many of them just shows that they have not got the answer. Well, if there's one truth we can get from the world and from our culture, is that we are not happy with who we are. We are in search of a better version of ourselves. We all want to change for the better. And the Bible tells us that God recognizes our desire to surpass ourselves, to transcend ourselves, to become like Him, to join Him at His table, to see Him. God wants us to be at His table so badly that He sent wise men and the prophets, although many of them were killed, read the Bible. Finally, He did the unthinkable. He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, who showed us the ultimate version of ourselves, and yet we crucified Him on the cross. The world has never been a big fan of God. Someone said, if God moved into our neighborhood, God will wake up every morning with broken windows. People will throw stones at God's house. But for those who are willing to receive Him, He gave them a new identity to be children of God. John 1:12. Next week we're going to look at that. You are no longer creature that image God, but you belong to the family of God, the children of God. So whatever identity you have created for yourself is not going to come close to the value and the preciousness God has offered you. We begin in the talk by asking the questions, who am I? We need to ask not who am I, but we need to ask God, who do you say I am? And the answer, the Bible tells us that we are creatures made in the image of God, who is dearly loved and precious to Him. Through Christ, we shall become His children. Isn't that great news? So we should be thankful, as the psalmist writes in Psalm 8. Hope it's not too small. It says that, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You make them a little lower than the angels and crown them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Thank you. Shall I close with a prayer? Yeah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for you've created us and with love and care, and not with purpose and functions, but with creatures that you need us in our mother's womb, and you leave us with a sense of purpose, and you give us a desire to become more like you. But how do we come to know you, Lord? How do we become like you until we come to know you? So help us, Lord. Help us to know you and to love you and to be loved by you, by the love that we all desire, that is a faithful, a trusting, and a self-sacrificial love. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.